Live from Chicago, this is Bruce Dumont with our Beyond the Beltway analysis of national politics, featuring occasional injections of rumor and innuendo, all offered up by a panel of political insiders, pundits, power brokers, public servants, professors, and most importantly, plain-speaking Americans from coast to coast. Tonight, featuring commentary by Phil Beverly, Dave Lundy, Jennifer Nivens, Chris Veronis, and Frank Buckley. Our program tonight coming to you from our home base at the Museum of Broadcast Communications in Chicago, where our toll-free lines are open at 1-800-723-8289. That's 1-800-723-8289. If you'd like to email me a comment, it's Bruce Dumont at museum.tv. If you want to tweet me a comment, it's at Dumo, at D-U-M-O. And you can join us on the World Wide Web, audio and video all the time at beyondthebeltway.com. There are 32 days to go before Inauguration Day and 32 days more of the Obama administration. And there's lots to talk about. We've got a lot of busy weeks between the election and what's happening. And one of the big stories that's going to happen tomorrow is the electors will meet and they will decide who really is the next president of the United States. We'll talk about that a little bit later on in the broadcast. But this past week, the story of alleged Russian involvement and hacking in our election has dominated much of the news. And I want to get kind of quick reaction from that. Dave Lundy, you're our card-carrying Hillary supporter, Democrat, with us tonight. To what extent do you put her loss at the footsteps of the Kremlin?
Look, when you have an election that's lost by 80,000 votes in three states, any one factor can be the factor. Is it Comey? Sure. Is it misogyny? Sure. Is it her lack of a coherent economic message? Sure. Is it the Russians? Sure. The bottom line here, though, is that this is a really big deal, not because she lost, but because of what the Russians tried to do.
Jennifer Nivens, you are our Trumpster here tonight. What is your answer to the same question? Would you acknowledge that the Russians may have helped Donald Trump either directly or inadvertently?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I think the CIA and the FBI are both coming to the conclusion that Russians were hacking, but the big divergence there is what was the intent here? Was it to help Trump or was it not to help to help Trump? So I think that the Russians may have some outlying influence here, but what was the influence? Was it the truth? Because no one has denied the veracity of what they have leaked. So if what they leaked resulted in Hillary Clinton losing the presidency, it was by the damning material that was in the material that they leaked.
Phil Beverly, you join us from Chicago State University. Your answer to the same question.
And I would diverge with Jennifer a little bit in the part that wasn't released, because apparently the RNC was hacked as well, but none of that information came to light.
Rance Priebus denies that it was hacked.
I wonder why he would do that. I'm not trusting Rance right now.
Would you acknowledge that one answer to that question is that maybe the Republicans did a better job of securing their content than the Democrats? Is that one possibility?
It's possible, but given the relationships from the Trump side with the Russians, with his pick for Secretary of State and with his senior advisor and with the departed senior campaign staffer, I would dispel that and say there was something else going on.
Okay. So you believe the Republicans, even though Rance Priebus says it didn't happen. Chris Veronis, you're a rather Republican this evening. You went supported Gary Johnson. You weren't a big Trumpster. But what's your answer to this question? Do you believe the Russians were involved, and to what extent did the results for them?
But they were. But Vladimir Putin never got Hillary Clinton to say basket of deplorables or not go to Wisconsin. Hillary Clinton lost the election. And I think in all the postmortem that's happening, mm-hmm. only the person who is in utter denial doesn't believe that. That doesn't mean that there was a secret plan by the Russians, by Vladimir Putin, to influence the election. And I find that mortifying. And that absolutely should be investigated. Russia is not our friend. They're our adversary. And if there's any inkling that they tried to involve themselves in our election, for whatever reason, it should be investigated, it should be known, and we should do something about it.
And I'm going to ask you to follow up, and then we'll start the second round. What should we do about it?
Good question. There's a lot of ideas floating around. One is response by cyber. One is economic sanctions. One is a force of arms. I don't know what the answer is, but there should be something that's done that hurts the Russians, particularly Vladimir Putin, a guy who's alleged to be the richest person in the world with $100 billion, largely a lot of it stolen.
Should the Obama administration have done more to protect the cybersecurity of the United States, to more aggressively pursue what happened at the DNC, and should have been a little more public in his denunciation of what he thought was going on, Dave?
Well, yes, he should have. But I want to go back to this question of what should we do now, because I think there are what should we do. And it's probably some response, some cyber response. I think the president should have been far more aggressive. He wasn't. But I think we should talk about what we shouldn't do. And I don't want to jump ahead to the next segment because I'm sure we're going to get there. But what we shouldn't do is put somebody who's been given awards by Vladimir Putin in charge of the State Department. I think that when you look at the response of the president-elect and a lot of his people, and you look at the fact that among Republicans, Vladimir Putin now has an approval rating of 40%. That's disturbing to me deeply at a fundamental level, and maybe it's because—
You want to return to the Cold War?
No, I don't want to return to the Cold War, but I don't want to be an idiot. I don't want to be naive as to the intention of Vladimir Putin. He's a malevolent adversary. When you look at the carnage in Aleppo today— That is caused by Vladimir Putin and the Iranians. It's also caused because of the response of the Obama administration did or didn't have.
But speaking of the retaliation or response the Obama administration should or should not have had in Aleppo, the president announced the other day in September when he saw and talked with Putin in China, he told him to cut it out about involvement in the campaign, told him to cut it out. Isn't this just another isn't this another red line moment for Obama that when he says things on the world stage, he's completely disregarded, Phil?
Oftentimes,
good example of it?
This is one example, but here's the problem with any kind of response that we have. And it's part of the public discourse that's being had. Oh, we want more information. Well, you can't compromise sources and methods in the intelligence business for transparency here.
Right.
So what we may want to do isn't going to be the public thing that everybody wants to see us doing.
Of course.
They'll know and we'll know. That's what needs
to
happen.
But the Democrats are asking for that.
And we may not have, because we're not seeing it, doesn't mean that it's not happening.
Congress needs to get involved.
I think when we look at Obama, why he has known, you just kind of alluded to it, they have been having meetings about this hacking that's been going on since July. And what Obama did not want to do is come out and say, yes, there's hacking going on. We need to have this stopped. He didn't want to take a firm line against Russia because it would have fed into what Trump was saying and that the election could be rigged. He didn't want to give Trump any ammunition because he felt that Hillary would win,
right,
like everyone else felt he would win.
He said he didn't,
and now
he
it's
didn't want
politicized.
To, he said he didn't want to tip the scale. And at the time, I sort of agreed that you didn't want it. Anything that Obama would have said at that point would have looked like he was trying to tip the scale, which might have made turnout larger. It might have inadvertently helped Trump.
Right.
And you're right. It sort of underscored what Trump was saying about voter fraud.
Right.
Because he said there was some skullduggery going on.
But he didn't anticipate.
1-800-723-8029. Back shortly from Chicago. And more from Dave Lundy.
A historic moment from the archives at museum.tv.
Thank you all very much. Admiral Kelly, Captain Card, officers and sailors of the USS Abraham Lincoln, my fellow Americans, major combat operations in Iraq have ended. In the Battle of Iraq, the United States and our allies have prevailed.
Experience more history at museum.tv.
Most of my family, they never graduated high school, so I'm trying to break that barrier.
My daughter, Brooklyn, was also a motivation for me to go back to school.
Every day after work, went straight to school, and it paid off.
At age 26, Kareem finished his high school diploma.
I could not have done it alone. I see the future is really bright for me.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Bruce Dumont back in Chicago. Thanks for joining us tonight. Let's go to calls. Let's go to Charlie in Knoxville, Tennessee, listening to us on WNOX. Go ahead, Charlie. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Thank you for taking my call, Bruce. For years, and even going back to the Cold War, and at the end of the Cold War especially, we've been told how far technologically advanced we are past the Russians, how they couldn't maintain a military offensive in Chechnya for tanks breaking down with no parts to fix the tanks that broke down. And you know, they don't have infrastructure, and they're broke, and all this. But now all of a sudden, their cyber abilities are evidently light years ahead of ours if we're not able to keep them from hacking into our system. I'm not saying that as a, you know, a conspiracy theory kind of thing, but I find it a little bit fishy that their abilities as far as cyberspace are so far ahead of ours.
All right, let's let everybody respond to that. Let's see if there's anybody that agrees with that. Phil Beverly?
No, I don't agree with their capabilities being ahead. I think we're more vulnerable because of our infrastructure and how widespread our use of technology is. And there's isn't. So it's going to be – there's more targets here. Mm. And then the human factor in an open society, I don't think people think about security as much, especially cybersecurity. And that's what we get these messages about. Don't use password for your password. And yet there's still people who do that.
I better change my password. I agree, Phil. And what's troubling is the Internet wasn't developed last year. And to me, this is on Obama. It's also on George Bush, because this is...
And Al Gore.
because
he invented it, and he didn't protect us from it.
Go ahead. Exactly right. This is probably the thing that gives, I think everyone, definitely me, like a pit in our stomachs, that this thing is happening over and over and over again. The hacks, Yahoo, take your pick. Sony. And I feel like Target, what we need...
Home Depot.
Is some kind of Geneva Convention of how you conduct yourself on cyber. And so there's, you know, we don't use chemical weapons. And if you do, you stand trial for war crime. There needs to be some rules of the game, because right now it's the Wild West. And so there needs to be.
One other thing I want to get everybody's reaction to, and that is, we talked about the Russians as it relates to the hacking of the DNC. Does anybody believe that the Russians have not been hacking long before that?
Absolutely. We know that they've been hacking since 2009. Right. Obama was getting updates.
They could have been hacking
this
during the Republican primaries as well.
Sure.
Well, and I find it amazing. One of the voices that came out on Friday vociferously against the hacks were none other than John Podesta, who really, if I were John Podesta, I would be in a hole somewhere with my head covered up in shame that I was so stupid to fall for a phishing expedition. Even I know not to, when they say, you need to change your password, please put your password here. Even I know to say, hey, that's not what I need to do. He let himself wide open. He just walked right into this. And we know that WikiLeaks, most of it, the damning stuff, was based on Podesta's emails. I just, no shame at all about what happened.
Yeah, from the Russians, apparently, according to Julian Assange.
But you don't have to be a genius to hack this crew. They are that dumb, unfortunately.
Okay, slow down there, big fella. I think that there's a lot of conflation going on here, and I hear it from Trump, and I hear it from Reince Priebus, and I hear it from you. Mm-hmm. There's a distinction between John Podesta succumbing to a stupid phishing, mm-hmm. you know, probe, which I think we all can agree that was astonishing, and the hacks that were done of the DNC and the hacks that have been done of Yahoo and Gmail, et cetera. I mean, what we're looking at here with the Russians, just to get to the caller's question, I don't believe that the NSA, with their tens of billions of dollars in technology budget, is not capable. I believe they're fully capable of doing what needs to be done. However, you know, Putin's got 5,000 hackers in Moldova that were doing this stuff. I mean, we've read that. And they're malevolent, and they were trying. And, apparently Putin hated Hillary Clinton's guts. So whether he was trying to help Trump or just hurt Hillary, I can't say for sure.
Just being mischievous.
Right.
Or just being mischievous. I can't say for sure. What I can say is that, and I say this as a guy who came of age during the Cold War. I was a Soviet studies major in college. For you kids out there was this thing called the Soviet Union. Anyway, and so the idea that you've got Republicans defending and the president defending and saying, no, you can't trust the CIA, you can only trust the Russians, it's mind-boggling.
But wait a minute. Mm-hmm. The political left in this country mm-hmm. has been doubting the intelligence
yep.
given to us by the CIA and the FBI for decades, mm-hmm. whether it is the invasion of Iraq, whether it is the weapons of mass destruction, whether it is the Kennedy assassination, you name it, whether it's the Vietnam War.
I'm sorry.
The political left has challenged the competence of the American intelligence community. And you know what? I'm going to say something that's heretical here. The American intelligence community hasn't always been right. They have not always been right. So the Democrats now, with their friends in the media, who I think they're revving up for another Cold War, mm-hmm. what they're saying now is we have to believe, if Donald Trump questions the intelligence community, then somehow he's ticking off all the people in the intelligence
community. How does he question?
He's mocking the intelligence community.
In what way?
This is a guy who says he's too smart to get the daily intelligence brief. He's not that smart.
He asked the question.
He doesn't believe them.
The first tweet that came out, he said, are these the same people who warned us about weapons of mass destruction?
Yes, that's mocking.
And I'm going to tell you
something. That's mocking.
Is it not a fair question?
Is it not a fair question?
It's a question that the president-elect should act in privately. Yeah. They should be asking privately by doing what he did, what he is essentially delegitimized. So next time, if the North Koreans or the Russians or anybody
or
else is doing something malevolent, and the president tries to cite the intelligence community, the response is going to be, well,
You didn't believe them.
Exactly.
And what Obama's doing right now and what the Clinton campaign is doing right now by casting aspersions on Trump's legitimacy in public is not a problem as well. I mean, what's going on?
Are they casting aspersions on his legitimacy or saying it's a problem that our election was interfered with by a foreign state?
Allegedly.
Allegedly interfered.
It's not alleged.
Sorry. Let me explain why it's alleged. We have the CIA saying that they were trying to interfere with the elections on the side of Donald Trump. And we have the FBI that says they were trying to engender chaos. We do not know what their intent
was.
Actually,
the FBI and the DNI have come to the same conclusion.
They have not come to the same conclusion.
They said there was interference. That's the issue.
And to what end was absolutely?
It doesn't matter.
There was interference
in the election for the most important political job in the world.
We're not saying there wasn't interference, but was it successful?
We are now hearing the political left very concerned about how the Russians are interfering with U.S. elections. And we've also heard them say that the United States has interfered in foreign elections as well.
Yes.
Are we not?
Are
our political left of center people acknowledging that?
Yes.
Are our political right of center acknowledging
that? Since 1952,
that's right. Okay.
Absolutely. We overthrew
Iran,
a democratically
Chile.
Elected government in Iran and were suffering for it to this day.
So when a world power like the Russians do what we have been doing, suddenly we are aghast by it.
No,
my
Bruce,
God, they're trying to involve themselves in an election.
There's ideological consistency here. We were aghast when it was done in Chile, and we're aghast when it's being done to the United States, and you should be aghast that it's being done to us.
How about being aghast at what the hacks revealed? That is what we haven't gotten right down to it. If it influenced the election, which we don't even know if it moved the needle or not. Let's say the intent was to move the needle in favor of Donald Trump, which I don't even buy, but let's say it was. How did they influence it? With the truth? With
what
finding
truth?
Out that, okay, that the DNC was rigged against Bernie
it
Sanders
was not
for
rigged.
One.
It was not rigged.
It was not in
Everybody
favor
knew.
Of...
Everybody, I'm sorry.
If you don't like the rules, that's too bad.
Why did Debbie Wasserman Schultz resign then from her position?
Why did she do that? Everybody knew that the DNC was weighing in for Hillary Clinton when they scheduled those debates. I never said it was acceptable. On this show, I said it was stupid
and
unacceptable.
I said the same thing.
But it had no
effect.
I said exactly the same thing.
Then why are people so upset that it was hacked?
Trump is on thin ice when he doubts the intelligence community he's going to inherit. This can't be litigated out in public. He looks stupid. The United States looks stupid.
And maybe that's the
And
end.
We lose our confidence. And suppose he has some...
I'm going to tell
you... Hold on. Suppose he has an intelligence finding that he's using as a case to do something. Should we believe it then?
Say North Korea has developed an ICBM. Well, and so,
and that's the problem with all this, and that's why I think it's indefensible for anyone to say we don't want this investigated.
You know what?
That's absolutely ridiculous.
By the way, I don't dismiss.
What are you afraid of, Chris?
You know what, Chris? I'll tell you what I'm not afraid of. The CIA, if they've got stuff to put on the table, they should have shown up.
Jennifer,
this week.
They can't put things on
the
table.
They had a meeting with the Congress that they did not show up to this week.
This is the first time. We've had intelligence failures before. WMD in 2003. The CIA didn't see the Soviet collapse coming. You could go back to Bay of Pigs, but this is the first time where you have an external threat that's coming in trying to undermine how we conduct
pillar of our democracy.
Exactly.
Free and fair elections is a pillar of democracy.
Were they right about Osama bin Laden? Wait a minute, Chris. Were they right about Osama bin Laden? Was the intelligence that the United States received prior to 9/11 quality intelligence?
Listen, what I'm talking about is there have been failures, and whether this is right or wrong, we need to scrutinize it. We need to get to the bottom of it.
We do.
That's what I'm saying.
I also believe that a portion, not necessarily even a majority, but a large portion of people that supported Donald Trump don't trust the intelligence community.
That's on them.
1-800-723-8229 from coast to coast and border to border. We got calls from Knoxville and Austin, Texas, coming up shortly on Beyond the Beltway.
This is Larry King at the Museum of Broadcast Communications in Chicago. Tonight we've got a special guest for you to meet. What do you like to do as a kid?
I like to play baseball. I like to watch television.
What was your favorite sports team?
Sports team growing up was the St. Louis Cardinals.
What was your favorite vacation?
I think the vacation we went to New York City to the World's Fair. See Yankee Stadium.
Who was your childhood hero?
Childhood hero, probably Hopalong Cassidy.
What was your biggest fear growing up?
The biggest fear probably was that I would irritate my father.
What's the silliest thing you've ever done?
Irritated my father.
Order your gift certificate now at museum.tv. That's museum.tv.
Really?
I don't even know where to start.
Why are they doing it in China then?
I don't know
where
to start.
Doing what in China?
Corporate profits. It's for their bottom line.
I know that they're making some corporate profits by going over to China, but the thing is, this is not a hospitable environment for doing business in this country.
Bullshit.
And they left in 2009. Sorry, is that what you're telling me?
That was
they
live
left in 2009.
I think we're live.
We are. Oh yeah, we've been live for 10 seconds.
Oh, sorry, Bruce.
Okay.
Sorry about that. That was our Democrat just pushing the envelope on free speech on American radio.
The FCC under Trump isn't going to care. Don't worry
about
it, Bruce.
Because he'll say a lot worse.
Anyway.
Absolutely.
He's not even president yet, and we are having one heck of a conversation between the commercials, let alone on the air. Let's go back to calls. Let's go to Kevin in Austin, Texas. You're on the air, Kevin.
I was going to comment that David Shedd, who was the former director of Intelligence and Defense Department, was interviewed by Cheryl Atkins on her show, and he had mentioned that it could actually be, we don't know because of a cutout, if it's actually the Russians that did this act. Does that make sense?
Well, no. The point is, all the evidence that we are receiving in this country is suggesting that it is Russia. We don't know that as a fact. David, you think we know it as a fact. There are people that don't believe that it's a fact. Within the world of intelligence, you try to make the other guy look, you know, responsible for it. I think the one thing we can say here is that right now, whether it is this hack and the allegations of skullduggery in this campaign, whether it's Target, whether it's Sony, all the hacks that have come forward in the last 3 to 5 years, I mean, these should have been addressed. They should have been prevented. By a more aggressive, more astute, more knowledgeable, a sharper cybersecurity network in the United States. There has been a president of the United States. It's on his watch that all of these things have gone on. I think you're correct. Part of it can go back to George Bush as well. We have not been prepared for this cyber battle we're in. And just one other thing. You made a very important point about basically the unlimited budget that the NSA has. So they should have been up to speed to be able to figure this out. How much money did Hillary Clinton raise in this campaign, Dave?
I think about $1 billion.
$1 billion. Yeah. She raised $1 billion, and in her list of supporters was virtually every leader of every corporation in Silicon Valley, with the exception of Peter Thiel from PayPal. So with all of this intelligence, all of this money, all of these cyber internet experts, they had it all going for them with $1 billion campaign, and God knows how much that was in the DNC's coffers. They were not able to come up with a system that could not be hacked by the Soviet Union or the Russians. So what does it say about the ability? And by the way, this is where I would make a difference is. And that is, the Republicans just may. One of the answers might be, you may not agree with it. One of the answers is that the Republicans and the RNC may take security far more seriously, cybersecurity, than the Democrats.
The Pentagon has been hacked.
That's right.
It's happening across the board, public, private. That's what makes this so scary.
The scary part of it is, right, what has this administration done to make it better?
Yeah, but the administration doesn't.
And we're discussing right now basically one small slice. We're talking about the release of information via WikiLeaks, of things that were said in memos that should not have been said in memos. Everyone has memos they wish they would never have publicly revealed. Everybody.
We
know about the Democrats, right? But here's another important thing. The WikiLeaks dump started on October 7th. That's the same day that the Access Hollywood tape was released. Who released that tape? Mm-hmm. Could that tape have been released by the Russians?
No.
Why not?
Because it was released by somebody who was associated with the program. Come on, Bruce.
Who?
That's a silly comparison.
Do we know who?
No, of course we don't know who.
All right. Do we know the level of media coverage that release by the, again, someone at Access Hollywood, do we know the level of coverage that story received compared to the coverage that the WikiLeaks information received?
Was it in general?
Let's say within the next month. Was it 10 to 1? Was it 100 to 1? What was the difference between the coverage of those stories?
All those things got plenty of coverage. Access Hollywood and the WikiLeaks.
Please answer my question. The level of media coverage of those two stories,
I don't know,
where would you put it? You're a public relations guy. You measure thing in ink and coverage.
Right.
So are we talking about 20 to 80? Is it 80-20?
So the Access
70,
Hollywood
30?
Story was more salacious, no question
Absolutely.
About it. It had audio. There was visual that plays well, and that it's going to get more traction.
Yep.
But the one of the indictments in the Clinton administration, aside from having this server and botching their explanation for it, is they let the media beast grow around the coverage. They could never contain it, and it ran away.
Because they weren't truthful about it.
And yes, that's part of it. They weren't truthful about it, and it turned into a giant monster, and that's on them. So I guess the point here is that you talk about the Russians trying to interfere in the election, whether it's true or not. I go back to, let's investigate it. No one, in my opinion, should be against the idea of let's learn more about this.
I'm not. Let's go to Jeff in Austin, Texas, KLBJ. Jeff, are you there?
The Russians are so far ahead of us in hacking. When in the network security world, we are 2 to 3 times ahead of these guys. We were just better at keeping it secret. The Stuxnet virus that took out the Iranian centrifuges using the coding with the Hebrews' help, it was beautiful. It's some of the most beautiful code you've ever seen. We're just better at keeping that stuff under wraps. The Russians not so much. Plus, they leave a bunch of breadcrumbs in their coding that makes it pretty obvious that it could be someone else, like using Russian language settings and certain variables, the way they obfuscate variables are well-known Russian ways to do it. So either they're leaving the breadcrumbs because they're not very good at hacking, or it could possibly be someone else. But they are way behind us.
Okay.
That's really all I had to say.
All right, let's go to Doug. Let's go ahead. Let's go to Doug in Knoxville, Tennessee. He wants to talk about Julian Assange. Go ahead.
Yeah, can you hear me, Bruce?
I can. You sound great.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I wanted to point out that Julian Assange was interviewed on the Sean Hannity show Thursday evening, and he categorically denied that these leaks were from any government. And secondly, one of his associates, the former British ambassador to Uzbekistan, has stated that he was the conduit, that he received the documents. They were handed to him in a Washington, D.C. park, and that it came from a disgruntled DNC source who had legal access to the materials.
All right, what's the reaction to that?
With all due respect, Julian Assange made, throughout the entire campaign, made his hatred for Hillary Clinton clear, public, explicit. He said he wanted to hurt her campaign and her candidacy. So with all due respect, I don't believe a word Julian Assange says. And besides, let's say it didn't come from a
even though he has stated his motive out front, a lot of people have that same feeling where they don't state their motive.
You're right, they don't. But not everybody has
they
been
hide
exposing,
under bylines.
Not everybody has been exposing government secrets of the United States for several years either. Look, I think that the fact whether it came directly from a government source or indirectly is irrelevant. Roger Stone knew. Roger Stone, Donald Trump's buddy, knew that the Podesta emails were coming months before they came out.
He intimated. I mean, he didn't say, I know.
No, you're right. You know what I'm referring to.
Yeah, I do.
He was very clear that there's something big coming related to Podesta. You just wait.
I said on this program, months before all this hit the fan, I made the comment that Edward Snowden sits in Russia. They may have access to Hillary's emails. I was talking about the server related stuff, not DNC.
They may have access
to that, and that it would not surprise me between then and Election Day is that Russia would engage themselves in the campaign. That's what I said from my mouth on this program about 7 or 8 months
not
ago.
A stretch?
It's no, not.
It's not a stretch.
What's the end game? It's
not a stretch, which means if I was the head of cybersecurity for the DNC, I would have been far more aggressive, far more efficient.
The DNC screwed up. I think everybody agrees with
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. Okay. But you know, the end game here that we're talking about, to me, is attacking the institution of the presidency. I don't think it really has anything to do with Trump. I think if Hillary had won the Electoral College vote that's going to be held tomorrow, that there would be damning information coming out about her to undermine her administration as well. I don't think this has anything to do with supporting Trump to get him to win. I think it's about casting doubt so that we have less opportunity to use soft power than we do now.
I'm all for placing blame on the DNC, but I think that's missing the mark here. We're all vulnerable. The Chinese hacked into the Pentagon and got secrets about the F-35. That's horrifying. And so just because the DNC didn't buy the right software or hire the right vendor, that's irrelevant. And sure, they deserve responsibility, but there's a bigger problem here, and people should be really concerned.
Amen.
And Trump has got to do something about it.
And also we should mention that Robbie Mook, the campaign manager, he was the first to float the connection to the to Russia.
How convenient.
On Meet the Press, the very first time. And no one has fanned this flame more than Chuck Todd. And right. The other person, by the way, is this gentleman to my left. You said on this program. You said on this program long before it was fashionable that the Russians were involved. Back shortly.
My name is Johnny Carson. My job is to make you laugh.
Johnny Carson brings you TV legends and classic moments every night on Antenna TV.
Don't make fun of me, Johnny.
And now through February, don't miss Here's Johnny, the making of The Tonight Show starring Johnny Carson at the Museum of Broadcast Communications in Chicago. It's a must-see collection of Johnny's stage props, costumes, video, and more. For more info and tickets, go to museum.tv.
There are many sounds in your daily life. Ones that make you smile. Ones that help you relax. And there are some sounds that can help save lives. Wireless emergency alerts, now on many mobile devices, use a unique sound and vibration to bring you critical information about emergencies in your area. With updates from local sources you know and trust, you can be in the know wherever you are. Learn more at ready.gov/alerts. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
We are back. 1-800-723-8229 from coast to coast and border to border. I'm Bruce Dumont. Chris Varonis, you wanted to bring a point to the table?
Well, our Republican nominee of 2008, John McCain, a military veteran, like probably one of the most foremost experts on foreign relations and
getting himself on television.
Yeah, that too.
He's really good at that.
He's great.
He called for the creation of a select committee for cyber warfare, and apparently he bucked. I think Mitch McConnell didn't want this to happen, but he went forward with it anyway. I don't know all the dynamics of the creation of these kind of committees. We've got one for intelligence, Homeland Security.
I don't deny looking into this. Mm-hmm. The only thing is, right. You know, when someone said early on, the American people are not necessarily going to know all aspects of this, because when you call the FBI or the CIA or NSA or any of the intelligence communities there, there's a limit to what they can say.
Correct.
In a congressional hearing that the public can see.
What I like about it is Congress asserting itself.
Stepping
as
up to
co-equal
the plate.
Equal branch of government.
Absolutely.
That's what I like about this. We should know more, and especially if we've got someone who's willing to take the presidency and just make policy about how he feels when he gets up in the morning. So I don't mind it.
Let's go to Mike, listening to us in KXLY in Spokane, Washington. Go ahead, Mike. Merry Christmas.
Thank you, Bruce. Merry Christmas to you and all your guests and to President-elect Donald Trump. My question is, who guards the guard? The CIA and FBI are probably correct in assessments, 75-85% or more. But if they make mistakes, these mistakes should be known. I realize we don't need rogue agents as well. I realize that the Senate and the House have committees to oversee the intelligence committee, but perhaps there should be another committee formed separate from the House.
Well, I think that's one of the as far as an investigation is concerned, I think that's one of the things that Chris just referenced of Senator McCain. But here's something else to consider. And this was something that Peter King was complaining about, representative from New York on TV today, is mm-hmm. that some members of the committee, the House committee, were not briefed by the CIA, were not briefed by the FBI, but information allegedly tied to the intelligence community pops up on the front page of the Washington Post. And he was saying, why are government intelligence officers, why are they talking to the Washington Post, mm-hmm. a very unfriendly paper to the administration, I might add. Why are they talking to them but not talking to the constitutionally required members of Congress who have as their responsibility the oversight of the CIA and the FBI? I think that's a legitimate question to ask. And here's something else this is historic, and it isn't just in the United States, and it isn't just with the FBI and the CIA. The battle within intelligence communities all over the world, and certainly in the United States between the FBI and the CIA, there is always a conflict. There's always mm-hmm. a battle between them. You throw the NSA in there, it's a battle about the budget. Who is the king or the president listening to? Are they listening more to the FBI? This goes back thousands of years. So when we talk about, well, the FBI says this and the CIA says that, I mean, I can hear Democrats saying right now, well, it's obviously that James Comey and the FBI, they were for Hillary, and the CIA and Brennan, they were for, they were for Trump, and the CIA was for Hillary. What? Because, and by the way, there are people in those agencies, they're real live human beings, they're supposed to be apolitical, and they're not. Right. They have favorites, yeah.
and they never have been.
Yeah. And by the way, they cheerlead for and against Republicans and Democrats and liberals, conservatives, because to them, you know what? Presidents come and go.
Yeah.
But the power and the influence of the mm-hmm. people, the alleged people who brief the president from the FBI and CIA, they know more than the president. especially if we have a president-elect that doesn't even want their intelligence briefings.
Right, because he's a smart guy. He's like smart. Yeah. He's not
or maybe,
he's like smart.
Or maybe he sees through what I just talked about.
Right. Or maybe
we have a competitive intelligence environment. Because
we do.
If we had one single intelligence agency, that'd be the one place you had to go to. But when they have to be competitive for it, then you get to sort of pick and choose, and they have to really be on top of their game.
But sometimes they do not want to acknowledge that the other organization is going to get a
but
plus.
That's why we,
because
there
will be consequences for them. Absolutely.
We had that.
Who's going to do
at
that?
9/11.
That's why we created the Director of
National Intelligence.
Exactly. That was the whole point.
Exactly.
We got rid of the DCI to get a DNI.
Well, and the way you don't deal with it is to undermine the confidence of our intelligence community.
Thank you.
You don't do that.
And the
Trump's going down that rabbit hole right now.
The Trump and other people on Trump's side don't have a problem with looking at Russia or anyone else and saying that hacking should not be going on and that that would be taking unfair advantage and that's sowing chaos, they shouldn't do it. What we have a problem with, what Trump has a problem with, and he came out and was very clear about that yesterday and this morning, is that to say that the Russians were doing this to benefit Trump and that it did benefit Trump when they're trying to divine some kind of meaning from that is what is unfair here. And until the CIA ponies up direct evidence that this was their intent to do that, it's highly irresponsible to say that.
And they may not be able to do that because of sources and methods.
Then they need to stop talking to WaPo about it.
If you want intention, you use human intelligence. They may have a source right next to Vladimir Putin who told them exactly what the intent is.
Then they need to say that.
But they can't say that. They'll get the guy dead.
So it's fair for them to come out with their conclusions, and it's not fair for Donald Trump to say, hey, wait a minute, that's unfair. You've got no proof that they were trying to push the election.
Are we talking about fairness here? Really? Seriously? Seriously? No, I'm
about
realpolitik.
Oh, that's rich. What we're talking about is, did they influence the election in favor of Donald Trump? Okay, was that their intent? And if it was their intent, did it work?
Did they try and influence our election?
That's not what the CIA came out and said. They said they intended to swing the election to Trump.
People who voted for Donald Trump, 99% of them think that what the Democrats are doing now, and to some extent the media is doing now, is sour grapes.
Yes.
They don't acknowledge that they lost the election. They want to talk about they got 3 million more popular votes.
Absolutely.
Which they did. God bless them.
Right.
Take it to your grave. That's what you got. But that's what many Trump voters feel. And Trump voters
are in the minority.
They are.
They're not listening.
They're not listening because their guy got elected and they trust their guy. I'm Bruce Dumont, back shortly from Chicago.
My name is Johnny Carson. My job is to make you laugh.
Johnny Carson brings you TV legends and classic moments every night on Antenna TV.
Don't make fun of me, Johnny.
And now through February, don't miss Here's Johnny, the making of The Tonight Show starring Johnny Carson at the Museum of Broadcast Communications in Chicago. It's a must-see collection of Johnny's stage props, costumes, video, and more. For more info and tickets, go to museum.tv.
There are many sounds in your daily life. Ones that make you smile. Ones that help you relax. And there are some sounds that can help save lives. Wireless emergency alerts, now on many mobile devices, use a unique sound and vibration to bring you critical information about emergencies in your area. With updates from local sources you know and trust, you can be in the know wherever you are. Learn more at ready.gov/alerts. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Museum of Broadcast Communications is Chicago's perfect place for senior citizens. Enjoy a stroll down memory lane. Reminisce as museum artifacts, photos, and classic TV shows trigger recollections from your childhood. Enjoy the TLC you'll receive from our expert tour guides. Discounts for groups of 20 or more. Schedule yours right now at museum.tv or call 312-245-8200. Plan your fun trip now at the Museum of Broadcast Communications.
Hey everybody, this is Josh Groban. After so many years on the stage, one of my favorite things about music is its ability to inspire and nourish the soul. That's why I'm proud to work with Feeding America, an organization that inspires hope for families in need and helps nourish the 16 million kids in this country struggling with hunger. Every year, billions of pounds of excess food go to waste, while one in five children may be left not knowing where their next meal is coming from, or if it's even coming at all. Thankfully, the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks collects surplus food and helps deliver it to kids in need across the country. But they can't do it alone. Join me in supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. Together, we can solve hunger. Together, we're Feeding America. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
A historic moment from the archives at museum.tv.
There can be no stable and enduring peace without the participation of the People's Republic of China and its 750 million people. That is why I have undertaken initiatives in several areas to open the door for more normal relations between our two countries.
Experience more history at museum.tv.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes, and you can do it at
Bruce Dumont back. Thanks very much for joining us tonight. Tomorrow at 12 noon in state capitals all over the United States, the electors of the members of the Electoral College, the Electoral College, they are going to get together and they're going to cast their votes, and it is expected that Donald Trump will be officially elected president of the United States. However, there are some electors, albeit a few, who are questioning whether or not they are going to be faithful to the person who won their particular state.
Or faithless.
Faithless. Professor, do you expect there is going to be any changes, any surprises tomorrow?
Yeah, I don't think he'll get the what was projected, and he'll obviously have the 272. I would imagine there'll be some nominal protest votes against him. He'll probably have 295 or something like that.
Jennifer, what do you think?
I think there'll be a few that peel off. I know that there's one lone renegade supposed Republican who says that he's going to take the fine and not cast his vote like he's supposed to for Trump. I mean, he certainly may not have the 306 that he has now, but I think it's going to be pretty close. They'll peel off a few.
Chris?
Total non-event, and Joe Biden will read them and weep in January.
Completely agree. This is one of the dumber post-election narratives going on here. And all of my Democratic friends who had some fantasy, I've just been sitting here shaking my head the whole time, because let's say hypothetically Donald Trump is under 270. Hillary's not getting those votes.
Right.
So then that means, let's say they vote for Gary Johnson or Jill Stein or anybody else, and Donald Trump comes out with 269 votes. Then he goes to the House. The House guaranteed will elect Donald Trump president, except now he's going to be a stronger Donald Trump because he'll have sympathy on his side. And a lot of people who don't like Donald Trump are going to be like, well, this was ridiculous. It's just the dumbest darn thing. People are not focusing on the right things. Focus on his appointments. Focus on these outrageous appointments that he's been making, to whether it's EPA,
HUD.
These wonderful appointments that are just wonderful in their variety and they're out of the box.
Right-wing appointments.
Let's take a moment. Of all of the appointments that have been made thus far, Chris Voronis, what is the one that you think is most vulnerable to not being confirmed, most likely not to be confirmed? Or are they all going to sail through?
I think all of them will sail through. The guy who would probably come under the most scrutiny is the Tillerson, for all the Putin stuff, champagne glass clinking, whatever. It really won't matter. They'll get him through. The guy who I'm most concerned about is Michael Flynn, but he is not subject to advice and consent. He's already in there.
And why are you worried about him?
Just kind of a wacky guy, you know, got fired and, you know, was
some wacky.
Well, him and his son, you know, they retweeted obscene things, bought into this kind of like a hyper-partisan narrative, almost fake news narrative.
Actual fake news narratives.
He's kind of off on the fringes. He was fired. He was resurrected. No one thought he would be back, and here he is, national security advisor. But I mean, like, so I mean, I'm a little heartburned about him, but all the appointments are fine. And, you know, we always have these eruptions. I mean, every president, everyone's going after the appointments, but I'm excited, particularly with the Department of Education. I think we're going to see a lot of good things, hopefully, you know, come out of these cabinet appointments.
Philip Everly, you tell me which of the cabinet positions, you know the Democrats are not going to be able to stop all of them, and you may not like any of them. So my question to you is, what is the most likely cabinet position to be stopped by the Democrats?
I think that depends on who has any sway in the caucus right now. The one that I'm most concerned about is Jeff Sessions. I mean, a guy who was too racist to be a federal judge, who was okay with the Klan until he found out they were smoking
more
weed.
That's
a little bit too much, given the current climate.
They were allegations in 1986.
Why isn't he a federal judge?
Well, because people chose not to support him at that point.
Mm.
And look what happened. He's a three-term United States senator. So they really showed him. Dave.
Yes. I think that there's two questions. The one, who's going to likely have the most problem? I think it is Tillerson. Mm-hmm. I think this Putin stuff is going to continue to grow. A story came out today that showed that Tillerson was chairman of the board of an Exxon subsidiary, which was a partnership between Exxon and Russia, and that Rex Tillerson was chairman of the board of that partnership. I think that Tillerson's going to have a problem. The ones that I have the most heartburn over is Pruitt at EPA. They're appointing somebody at EPA who doesn't believe in the EPA, who's fought the EPA consistently, and who doesn't believe in climate change. I think Sessions is an abomination as an appointment. He doesn't believe in the Voting Rights Act, and he's going to be in charge of enforcing it. You know, you could huff and puff at me, but the fact is he doesn't believe in the Voting Rights Act.
That's and it's okay.
Jennifer.
He doesn't have to believe in it.
Jennifer respond to it.
It's, you know, as soon as I heard the racist meme thrown against the wall against Jeff Sessions, I realized we're just in familiar territory again. It's just demonize people with a word. It's something that the left does. You don't look at somebody on their merits.
It's not.
He doesn't have a racist history.
Since you haven't been on the opposite side of it, you don't get to speak about it as it's some kind of throwaway experience in this culture.
Have you had experience with Jeff Sessions? So you and Jeff Sessions have had something.
Do I have to have experience with every
single person?
You just said
that person? I don't have it, so I'm assuming you do.
You don't have experience with racism.
If you call him a racist, let me finish. If you call a man a racist, it seems to me that should be based on a personal experience you've had with him. Or other than that, it's hearsay.
Okay,
Or your interpretation.
He doesn't believe in the Voting Rights Act, period, full stop. I don't have to call him a racist. I could just say he doesn't believe in a law that he's required to enforce. Pruitt doesn't believe in the laws that he's required to enforce.
That's a fact. Those are valid criticisms. But to cast dispersion and to use the race word because he happens to be from Alabama and because in 1986, someone made an allegation. The person that made the allegation, by the way, is now deceased. And the voters of Alabama elected him to the United States Senate.
Absolutely.
Three times.
Good for them. That's great. And in the current environment where we've been struggling with relationships between law enforcement and communities of color.
Yes.
This isn't the guy to help mend those relationships.
Okay. So if he fails and the President Trump selects Rudy Giuliani as his backup attorney general, what are you going to say next?
He's not going to fail. And I've said with Clinton, Bush, Obama, and with Trump, you should get the cabinet that you want. I hate it when Republicans want to block presidential appointments of Democratic presidents.
I agree.
Because if Democrats do it, oh, that's sour grapes and this other kind of nonsense.
I think
the Democrats should suck it up and say, these are the people he wants. Have at. You do that.
But don't you dare get in the way of the next Democratic president appointing whoever he wants. I don't want to hear a word about, they're not good enough.
You appoint who you want.
You have who you want.
I totally agree with that. 1-800-723-8229 from coast to coast and border to border. I'm Bruce Dumont.
A historic moment from the archives at museum.tv.
Thank you all very much, Admiral Kelly, Captain Card, officers and sailors of the USS Abraham Lincoln, my fellow Americans. Major combat operations in Iraq have ended. In the Battle of Iraq, the United States and our allies have prevailed.
Experience more history at museum.tv.
Most of my family, they never graduated high school, so I'm trying to break that barrier.
My daughter, Brooklyn, was also a motivation for me to go back to school.
Every day after work, went straight to school, and it paid off.
At age 26, Kareem finished his high school diploma.
I could not have done it alone. I see the future is really bright for me.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Well, I'm back. Thanks for joining us. Let's go to Jerry listening to us in Roseburg, Oregon, listening to us on POTUS tonight. Go ahead, Jerry.
Hi, Bruce. Thanks for letting me on the air.
Very good. Thank you, sir.
I just wanted to make a comment about what you guys were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
And the hacking and stuff.
Yeah.
And Trump has a lot of business ties with Russia, so I've heard by listening to the news and stuff. And he hasn't released his taxes at all. And I was just wondering if you had a look at those taxes and you saw all the business ties going to Russia, you know, just kind of follow the money, and that would give you a good reason why Russia wanted him to win the election instead of Hillary. That was my comment. I hope it brings up some discussion.
Yeah, okay. Well, thanks very much for your call. Chris, let me start with you. Everyone in America knows and knew that Donald Trump is a billionaire, knows he's got real estate holdings all over the world. So why should anybody be surprised and learning about that now? They also knew they voted for a guy who did not release his taxes.
Right.
They voted for a guy who groped women. They voted for a guy who said obscene things or profane things, profane, not obscene, things in public. They knew all that.
Yeah,
it's
how much of the iceberg is revealed above water. I mean, that's right. What this is, and no one's going to care until it becomes a problem. Unfortunately, we may not know it's a problem until many, many years of corruption and influence and deals that underline our country. We don't know what the Saudis are going to do or. The banks who he owes money to that the Department of Justice has got to regulate. There's so many problems here, and you know, it's so hard to explain. It's so hard to understand. I think the average voter just threw up their hands and like, whatever. You know,
they wanted a businessman.
He's better than Hillary or whatever.
They wanted a businessman. They didn't know everything about his background, and they chose him.
It won't be a problem until it becomes a politician.
You have a fear of the unknown.
I have a fear of something that is going to be inevitable because there is going to be no sale of his business between now and January 20th. And that's the only way. That's the only way you could solve this conflicts problem. Short of that, his kids are going to be in. He's going to be landlord and tenant of the Trump Hotel in Washington, D.C., in the old post office.
And the news media will be covering that.
They didn't during the
general election. Well, The media, for all the talk about the liberal media and the complicit with Hillary Clinton, the New York Times did not devote real resources to investigating this issue, the business ties, until 3 weeks after the election. And it drove me crazy. The only person who gave a who cared about this issue and focused on it was Kurt Eichenwald, who wrote story after story after story, in which he documented everything over and over and over again. And that was Newsweek, and nobody cared, and that was it.
Here's the question. I sort of posed this before the break. The people who voted for Donald Trump in many ways because during the campaign, whether it was the Democrats or their friends in the media, they just dumped on Donald Trump over and over and again. And the voters out there, out in TV land, radio land, on the internet, receiving all this garbage that was thrown at Trump, some of which was self-inflicted. I will acknowledge that. They knew all that. They still voted for him. And now the election is over. They want to go back to their lives, not, you know, discussing every element like we do every Sunday night. They want to go back to their lives. And now what we have in the postmortems, we have the media now bringing up a lot of the old stuff, finding new stuff. They are not moving forward with any story at all that shows Donald Trump in a positive light. Right. Now, how do the people...
Well, that's self-inflicted, too.
How do the people who voted for him, how were they suddenly going to get disgusted and upset with him? Because every criticism that is made of him comes from a position of people that, frankly, are looking down their noses at the people who voted for Donald Trump, because those people are stupid. They're the great unwashed. Right. They don't know anything. We know better. And the know-it-alls are now using their power and their influence to make those that voted for Donald Trump look and feel small and diminish them.
Is that
why would anybody care about that?
Is that the standard, Bruce? Is it how Trump voters feel when you expose this stuff, that you can't therefore expose it? Should the New York Times not have finally devoted some effort to revealing what are the conflicts that that Trump is going to face as he moves forward?
You can do that, but I'm just saying, don't think that you're going to get this huge... Other than the liberal chorus who loves to get together at their parties and talk about how Donald Trump is, and every single thing they say about Donald Trump is negative. And by the way, let's say there's 3 million more of those in the United States than there are Trump voters. Let them all get together and talk to themselves. They will not have any impact at all on Donald Trump's popularity with his base. Donald Trump
is going into
no
office the least popular incoming president. The least popular.
You know, the press...
And Hillary would have as well. Thank you.
Yes.
Right.
Perhaps.
You know, the press is...
Definitely.
You know, Chris, I heard you mention something about how Trump's, you know, he leads him... He's kind of deserving this negative coverage that he's getting from the press right now. You say that, but, you know, the press is bound and determined to put any negative spin on a story they can about Trump. His cabinet, his incoming cabinet's all
I'm
in chaos. The process is in chaos.
Attacking Saturday Night Live week after week.
But I'm not
talking about Chris. Incredibly petty.
Chris,
it's ridiculous.
Chris, I'm not talking about that. What I'm talking about is a press that does not want to give Donald Trump a fair shake in any way, shape, or form. Not a moment, not a honeymoon period.
I believe that.
Break at all. Even to the point David Axelrod came out and said, I don't understand what these stories are about how Trump's transition period is in chaos. He said, we hadn't even picked like a third of the picks that Donald Trump had. He said this back on November 18th. We hadn't even gotten it off the ground, and nobody was on our cases.
Look,
everybody is on Donald Trump's case right now. They didn't want to, from the second he became the president-elect, didn't want to give him 1 ounce of leeway.
I agree that the media has it out for Trump.
Absolutely.
Donald Trump, to their faces, said, there's the disgusting media.
And they prove it every day.
And this guy got elected.
Except he got $2 billion of free media from this media that he hates.
Back before he was the nominee.
With him for the next 4 years.
He made his great television for
them. One at a time. Go ahead.
I'm all for having one standard that all candidates, all office holders have to meet and hopefully exceed. Hillary Clinton, the Clinton Foundation, influence peddling, it's got to meet that standard. Trump has got to meet that standard.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And we know that the Trump Foundation committed an illegal act when it used its money for non-philanthropic purposes. They admitted it. They admitted it after the election. And what came out was the lawyers made horrendous decisions, laughable, horrendous. You would never hire these guys. You'd find them in the yellow pages, the people who worked for the Trump Foundation. And so who else is working for Trump? Who like the lawyers? Is it financial advisors? That's a little scary if we just look at the Trump Foundation right now. Again, this is not Republican, Democrat. This is one standard that everyone has to meet and exceed. Right now, I'm not feeling it with Trump.
Do you expect, Dave, you don't expect Donald Trump to sell off his assets, do you?
I don't think he will sell off his assets. No,
should
of course
he?
Not. I think that there are a variety of things he could have done if he actually cared about disclosure and ethics and avoiding conflicts of interest, the first and foremost which would have been to disclose his tax returns. We have no idea what the conflicts are. We really don't. We rely upon the reporting of the New York Times or Newsweek. But the reality is we don't know what these conflicts are, and it's relevant to his performance of his duties.
His daughter and son-in-law have had a charity in New York that helps those in need for about 10 years now. They are canceling their charity this year for fear that someone is going to contribute to that charity out of an effort to become friendly
with her and the president. They finally listened to their lawyers.
My question. So the losers in this case are those people that were the recipients of that generosity by the Trump Foundation.
Donald Trump is the master of distraction. He has been doing it. No, hang on. He has been doing it. I'm answering the question. He's been doing it the whole time, and you just pointed to yet another brilliant distraction by Trump. Say, don't pay attention to any of these actual conflicts of interest where I have interest in these countries that I'm going to have policy. Focus on the fact that a few people are going to get hurt by this small foundation as opposed to all the crap that happened during the election with the Trump Foundation. Come on, Bruce. This is not what is important. I'm sorry if that is the case. But if you care about don't you care about the Clinton Foundation and the millions of people who would lose their AIDS drugs?
Because the Clinton Foundation at one point said that if Hillary Clinton had been elected, the family was going to step down and portions of what they were doing were going to be given to other charities to fulfill the responsibility.
Great. Ivanka could have done the same thing.
That's a great. Well, here's my question. You know what? I don't have time to ask the question because there's no time for you to answer the question. So let me just give our phone number again. It's 1-800-723-8289. By the way, a couple of programming nights. Next Sunday night is Christmas night, and we will be here. We will be here. You'll be invited to the Beyond the Beltway Christmas party, but don't call in because we really won't be here. We will be here as a show, and we'll have a big party. About 2 weeks from tonight, which is January 1st of 2017, we will be live. We will be working live on New Year's Day. I'm Bruce Dumont. Thanks for joining us tonight. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Museum of Broadcast Communications in Chicago. Tonight, we've got a special guest for you to meet. What do you like to do as a kid?
I like to play baseball. I like to watch television.
What was your favorite sports team?
Sports team growing up was the St. Louis Cardinals.
What was your favorite vacation?
I think the vacation we went to New York City to the World's Fair. See Yankee Stadium.
Who was your childhood hero?
Childhood hero probably Hopalong Cassidy.
What was your biggest fear growing up?
The biggest fear probably was that I would irritate my father.
What's the silliest thing you've ever done?
Irritated my father.
Order your gift certificate now at museum.tv. That's museum.tv. Bruce Dumont back in Chicago. Let's go to Alan listening to us in Austin, Texas on KLBJ. Go ahead, Alan.
Thanks, Bruce. As far as other countries interfering in our elections.
Yep.
Why doesn't anybody mention Mexico? I mean, Mexico, if you recall, Vicente Fox went all over the United States making speeches about how Trump was a racist and so forth. And, of course, a lot of Mexican officials voiced their opinion that Trump was a racist. And then, of course, you had the Pope, who visited Mexico and said anybody who wanted a border wall was un-Christian.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, now, of course, on the other side, the United States also interferes in other countries' elections. You know,
right.
Obama tried to interfere in the Israeli election. Mm-hmm. He sent 50 people over there to campaign for the opposition.
All right, well, we talked briefly about this, but Dave, I mean, I think we all acknowledge that the United States has meddled in elections for many, many years.
Sure. I just to be clear, Vicente Fox is the ex-president of Mexico, so Mexico did not mm-hmm. interfere.
Oh, but there were Mexican officials.
Sure, but the Mexican officials were not calling Donald Trump a racist. They were saying that we're not paying for your border wall, and they were saying that if we're not sending rapists. And I mean, they were just rebutting the assertions that were being made by Donald Trump. That's not the same thing as interfering with our elections. I mean, Donald Trump made Mexico the issue. Mexico didn't
they were
make
trying to influence our elections.
Right. They were just responding to the stuff that was put out there by Donald Trump.
Well, I think to your point, Alan, there were a lot of voices in opposition to Donald Trump during this election, just as there may or may not have been interference from Russia and from Julian Assange and other characters that were ostensibly against Hillary. And so in the end, what happens is it all shakes out and the people use the information that they've been given and they make their decision. And what happened is they made their decision, and only now we're hearing a hue and cry from the left about how it was unfair influence, it was undue, there was interference, and I'm sorry. The idea, it does come through loud and clear, that somehow Trump didn't quite get there on his own, and he wouldn't have gotten there but for some interference.
All right. Thanks very much for your call. Joining us now from his home in Virginia is Frank Buckley. He is a professor at George Mason University in the Scalia Law School. He also writes for the New York Post, a conservative commentator. Frank, nice to have you with us on Beyond the Beltway this evening. Earlier in the broadcast, we were talking about the role of Russia in this campaign, most recent campaign, and what we should be doing now as a country to investigate what role, if any, they really had. Is this an important thing that needs to be done, in your view? I understand Frank is no longer there. So let's go to Alan in Austin, Texas. Joe in Youngstown, Ohio, listening to us at 1-800-723-8289.
Thanks for taking my phone call. I want to start off with one thing real quick. Shouldn't it be against the law for some of our candidate not to release his tax returns? That's ridiculous. But above and beyond that, those are the two worst candidates who have ever run for the presidency of the United States.
Yeah.
If anybody but Hillary Clinton was running for the Democrats, it would have been a sweep for the Democrats. If anybody but Trump was running for the Republican side, it would have been a sweep for the Republicans. That's how bad those two guys are.
I'm going to challenge one point. Number one, I do agree that if another Democrat had run, I think Joe Biden would have won. I believe that Bernie Sanders would have won. I know that Dave Lundy doesn't agree with that. I think Phil Beverly doesn't agree with that, even though he was for Bernie Sanders. But I think the turnout, the enthusiasm would have been so great, I think that Bernie Sanders would have defeated Donald Trump. Now, on the other side, I think Donald Trump is the only Republican who would have won this race against Hillary Clinton. I don't think anyone would have come close, because you know what? There wasn't any other Republican candidate that basically was willing to take her to the mat and zero in on her. It was not only the content, it was the tone of the campaign. I don't think anyone else would have come close.
Mm-hmm. I think John Kasich would have beat her like a drum.
Absolutely.
No,
Republican candidate. We don't know. No, the candidates did not win the nomination except for Trump and ran a general election campaign. We'll never know.
But if you look at
how hard they'd have taken on Hillary, all of them were sharpening their knives. But, I mean, they all fell to Trump. And
what does that tell you?
But if you look at the demographics,
it tells me that
they weren't strong enough to stand up to him.
That a small base of the Republican electorate has an intense taste for red meat, and they feel like they haven't been listened to. They feel like they've been slighted, and Trump was their guy. They had 17 candidates who cut up the vote. 60% of the Republican electorate voted against Donald Trump, but it didn't matter
because election day.
It didn't matter because there were 17 candidates.
Not on election day, they didn't. They all came back. Virtually all of them came back.
Well, he wouldn't have been president if he wouldn't have been nominee.
All of those that allegedly were going to flee the coup, all the suburban women living in Philadelphia,
yeah,
all the soccer moms, they may have lost some. They didn't lose the majority of them.
Yeah, well, they actually.
And for everyone that walked out the door, for all these high visibility people who calling press conferences why they hated Donald Trump, they might have been a couple hundred people in reality, and there were thousands, tens of thousands of white collar blue collar workers who were former Democrats. So, right. So all this hoopla that Donald Trump was going to – remember when people were talking about whether Donald Trump was going to tear down and every Republican running in every state was going to lose? Didn't happen. Mm-hmm. It was just the opposite.
Right.
He provided the bootstraps. He wasn't the guy that brought the ticket down. Would you acknowledge that? Because I think you were one, Chris.
I said on this program
on more than one occasion, this guy was going to destroy – the Republican Party, and he didn't.
I was one of them, but at the same time, you had this drop-off from 2012 to 2016. All these voters, there was a slice of them that did go for Trump, but a lot of them stayed home. Hillary could not turn out the vote that Obama did.
You went for Gary Johnson, and not many people went for Gary Johnson.
If she were able to at least match Barack Obama, she would have won. Mm-hmm. 80,000 votes is what separated those three states from going from red to blue.
Why didn't she do it? Why didn't she do it in the African American
community?
Because
it's Hillary Clinton.
It's Hillary Clinton. She was a
bad
candidate.
You knew that from the get-go.
Yeah, which is why I voted my conscience and voted for Bernie in the
primary. Well, no one knew it would be this bad, that she would lose Michigan, Wisconsin, and
Pennsylvania. She didn't listen to the folks on the ground.
Look,
that was a problem.
I said this all year. All throughout 2016, there was a need to address in a coherent way. And, you know, there's a story that came out this past week that talked about the total number of words that Hillary Clinton said about jobs.
Yeah.
That's not the point. It's not about quality. It's about it's not about quantity. It's about quality. There was no coherent economic message that resonated with people. And I've said this before, the slogan Stronger Together is the single worst campaign slogan ever.
Let me ask, because one of the things that John Podesta said, and because Hillary Clinton addressed donors last night, and John Podesta said that there's going to be a postmortem. It's going to take several months. They're going to go through, and they want to report to the donors what they did wrong. As someone who has been a donor, and you work for someone who was a major donor, J.B. Pritzker, a billionaire who's a supporter, long, big supporter, the big, big donors, how disappointed are they in the way the campaign was run?
Oh, I am not going to speak for the big donors on this show. I think that there's still a great deal of sadness and disappointment. Some donors are angry. I think, frankly, I'm probably angrier than a lot of the big donors because I just think that there were fundamental mistakes that were made from the get-go, and there was a tone deafness in Brooklyn as to what was actually going on in the country.
Do you think that rests with Podesta, or is it Robby Mook? Do you put it on more than one person, or was it just the similarity of thought?
Campaigns are a reflection of their candidate. Yeah. They always are.
Yeah. The Clinton people, Brooklyn, they thought they were the smartest guys in the room, and they knew they had numbers that proved that this was a change election. They knew Hillary couldn't match that energy. They knew she couldn't. And so it was Maggie Gruenwald who came up with this strategy where we have to make the alternative unacceptable, temperamentally unfit. We have to trash and tear down Trump, and that way people won't have their guy for the change election. That didn't work because they didn't have a message, as Dave said.
Do the Republicans – I said this a couple of months ago, and that is that Donald Trump is not very popular with some incumbent Republican mm-hmm. senators,
right.
You know, whether it's Jeff Flake or John McCain or Marco Rubio or the list is long, Ben Sasse as another – Is he going to get more support from Democrats than Republicans in the U.S. Senate on some issues?
It depends on the issue.
Yeah. Apparently he's friends with Chuck Schumer. I mean, they go way back.
What do you think?
If it's in, look, Democrats advocated and Obama advocated for infrastructure spending for decades. It used to be a bipartisan issue, but the Republicans under Obama basically said, no, we're not going to do infrastructure spending because they thought it benefited the unions.
Democrats will get trade.
So in that regard, I think Democrats will be all over the infrastructure spending. I think they'll be all over fighting the TPP, although I wouldn't be surprised if Trump rolls that back.
We got to pause. Thank you.
My name is Johnny Carson. My job is to make you laugh.
Johnny Carson brings you TV legends and classic moments every night on Antenna TV.
Don't make fun of me, Johnny.
And now through February, don't miss Here's Johnny, the making of The Tonight Show starring Johnny Carson at the Museum of Broadcast Communications in Chicago. It's a must-see collection of Johnny's stage props, costumes, video, and more. For more info and tickets, go to museum.tv.
There are many sounds in your daily life. Ones that make you smile. Ones that help you relax. And there are some sounds that can help save lives. Wireless emergency alerts. Now on many mobile devices, use a unique sound and vibration to bring you critical information about emergencies in your area. With updates from local sources you know and trust, you can be in the know wherever you are. Learn more at ready.gov/alerts. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Elaine Chao is going to be the next Secretary of
Labor. That's a way to keep McConnell
Labor. She's going to make it. She's going to get
now, though,
100, 100 to 1.
Are we on?
We're on. Do you agree with that? Anybody disagree?
Yeah, no. Elaine Chao, definitely.
Elaine Chao, she in any trouble?
That's extremely.
Of the top 10 troubling nominations, that's not it.
Yeah, but that's a way to keep McConnell in line. Yeah.
Yes.
You think he thought of that?
Oh, yes, I do think he thought of that.
Richard in Birmingham, Alabama. Go ahead, Richard.
Just got a couple of things.
Can you speak, sir? You sound like you're in a potato chip can, so speak a little bit louder because it's hard to hear you.
Sure. So Hillary Clinton lost because she was out of work for the same reason that Barack Obama beat her in 2008.
Yeah.
That's the reason she got beat here. And I think that Donald Trump could be a great president. But I didn't vote for him.
Okay.
But I think he could be a great guy, you know?
Well, I think he's going to bring I think even the Democrats around the table would acknowledge that he brought an energy that outmatched Hillary Clinton. I don't think anybody's going to deny that. I think one of the moments, you know, we were saying that in an election like this, you know, you can point to 5 or 10 reasons as to why she may have lost. I think basically, and this has not been given a lot of coverage thus far, I think the video of her collapsing on September 11th was also a devastating piece that I think moved voters. I think it spoke to the lack of energy, the potential health issue that was out there, her age as well, and I think that swayed, frankly, a lot of votes.
She's younger than Trump.
Doesn't make any difference.
Trump is older
she was
than
also
her.
Frail. She was also more frail. Showed him her frail. Here's like 70 guy years old. He's running all. He's doing 7 pops a night. You know, it's amazing.
Well, here's the thing.
Stops a night. I meant stops.
And I have a 10-year-old son.
Oh, there you go.
Mazel tov.
So
I'm 52, and I have a 6-year-old son.
All right.
Woo.
Got the energy for it.
Well. But I tell you, I'm waiting to see what he does.
Good.
You know?
As we all should. Richard, let me ask you this question. Because you have acknowledged you didn't vote for him.
Right.
You think he could do a good job. What message would you send to Democrats all over the country listening and watching this program tonight who despise Donald Trump and are not they're not likely to give him a chance. What would you say to them?
Well, I don't see how they can avoid giving him a chance. It doesn't matter. He is our president.
But they will say he's not my president. What would you say to them?
Well, I would say that after tomorrow, if they continue to say that, they probably should move.
They're not dealing with reality.
And
Bill,
he's what we got. Now, I'll tell you, what I thought would happen was this. Everybody knows about the skating rink that he fixed in the lower end of Central Park near the Plaza Hotel.
Yeah, right.
There was another skating rink at the north end of the park used by the people of Harlem. It was in disrepair as well. For 4 years, both of them. In 4 months, he fixed both of them. Now, I think he should have publicized the fact that he did the one up in Harlem better than the one that he did down in his property. And what I've told all my friends is that it depends on who shows up on the 20th. If the guy that shows up on the 20th is the guy that fixed both of those skating rinks, then he could be a great president.
Richard?
And I also don't think he's going to be that easy to roll. I think that Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell think they're going to be able to roll this guy, and I don't believe they're going to be successful.
I agree with that. A New York realtor or a real estate guy is hard to roll. Let me ask you this question. Richard, you're calling from Birmingham. It's Birmingham, Alabama, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Earlier in the broadcast, we talked about Jeff Sessions, your senator down there, who's been nominated for attorney general. Questions have been raised about to what extent he's been racially sensitive in his conduct of his public life. As someone who I assumed has either voted for him or against him, what is your perspective live from Alabama right now?
Well, I'm a self-planted New Yorker.
Okay.
But I haven't voted for him. I'll tell you this. I don't believe that. Can't judge the book by. He also has a reputation of taking it on the Klan down here as well. So, whatever.
Repeat that again. We had a little difficulty in hearing what you said. Repeat what you just said because it did not come through clear.
Well, what I said was, is he has a when he's taken on the Klan. Mm-hmm. As when he was a state attorney general. He took on the Klan down here.
He's right about that.
Man. So I think that you can't judge him either. Because you just don't know.
Phil, any comment to Richard?
So I think it's interesting the angst that some people have about not giving Trump a chance and that kind of deal. I'll give him as much a chance as Mitch McConnell gave Barack Obama. My job is to make him a one-term president. Okay, if that's what your position is, that's a beautiful thing. I adopt the same position, and if it's good enough for you to say that about Barack, it's good enough for me to say that about Trump. So don't complain when I don't give him a chance.
So something that for 8 years you found as reprehensible conduct by the Senate Minority Leader, you want to repeat that. Why is that two wrongs don't make a right? Phil?
I didn't say it was wrong. That's what it is. This is politics. That's how you
so
behave.
So you want to get even?
No, I want to play the game the way the game is played.
Which is tit for tat.
And nothing gets done.
No.
Oh, nothing gets done. Okay, so from
we're out of time. Philip Beverly, Dave Lundy, Chris Veronis, Jennifer Nevins, thank you very much for being with us. I'm Bruce Dumont. This is a Jenny B production produced in association with AM 560 WIND. Until next week at the same time, our thanks to Dan Dorfman and Colin Bobbitt and Fritz Goldman for their assistance in the production of this program. Until next Sunday night, Christmas night, this is Bruce Dumont. Merry Christmas. See you next week. The Museum of Broadcast Communications is Chicago's perfect place for senior citizens. Enjoy a stroll down memory lane. Reminisce as museum artifacts, photos, and classic TV shows trigger recollections from your childhood. Enjoy the TLC you'll receive from our expert tour guides. Discounts for groups of 20 or more. Schedule yours right now at museum.tv or call 312-245-8200. Plan your fun trip now at the Museum of Broadcast Communications.
Hey everybody, this is Josh Groban. After so many years on the stage, one of my favorite things about music is its ability to inspire and nourish the soul. That's why I'm proud to work with Feeding America, an organization that inspires hope for families in need and helps nourish the 16 million kids in this country struggling with hunger. Every year, billions of pounds of excess food go to waste, while one in five children may be left not knowing where their next meal is coming from, or if it's even coming at all. Thankfully, the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks collects surplus food and helps deliver it to kids in need across the country. But they can't do it alone. Join me in supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. Together, we can solve hunger. Together, we're Feeding America.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
A historic moment from the archives at museum.tv.
There can be no stable and enduring peace without the participation of the People's Republic of China and its 750 million people. That is why I have undertaken initiatives in several areas to open the door for more normal relations between our two countries.
Experience more history at museum.tv.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes, and you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to. Nope. I'm sure you've got a perfectly good excuse. Kids, work. I get it. You're busy. So what better time than now? Let's begin. Raise one finger if you're a man. Ladies, none yet. Oh, count in your head if you're driving. Now, three more fingers for everyone over 60, two over 50, one over 40, one more if you're not physically active, another finger if anyone in your family has type 2 diabetes, another if you've got high blood pressure. If you're overweight, raise another finger, two if you're very overweight, and three if you're really overweight. You've just taken the world's first audio prediabetes test. And if you're holding up five or more fingers, visit doihaveprediabetes.org or talk to your doctor. There's no excuse, because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.